Goodness is so important to us, and we want to encourage you to practice goodness, and we can grow in the fruit of the Spirit. So we want to encourage you in this area today. So Psalm 36, the Bible says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." And Psalm 73 tells us that truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. So why don't we pray this morning? Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you've revealed yourself to us as a good God and that you've proven yourself to us that you are a good God. I pray today that we would embrace your goodness, that we would practice goodness in our own lives, and that we would bear the fruit of the Spirit of goodness in our lives. Father, we pray that you would reveal yourself to us in a greater way today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the Bible says that God is good, and this is really great to know that God is a good God. That fundamentally, when the chips are down, that God is good. And I think that's really important for us to embrace. And when we look at the next slide for the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of God's work in our life, fruit of the Spirit, is the fruit of God working in our life. And we see the fruit being love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, patience, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness, all these good fruit. Amen. These are really good fruit. You don't see anger, bitterness, violence, outrage, murder. You don't see all that up there. You don't see heartbreak, sorrow, crying. That's not the fruit of the work of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that good news? That's good news. We need to realize that there's a difference between the work of God in our life producing good fruit and the work of other things in our life, which produces sorrow, produces sadness, produces destruction, produces division. So these things are really great. And I want to encourage you to embrace the Word of God, embrace the Spirit of God into our lives, and we can bear these wonderful fruit. And it's a promise in the Word of God that we can all do that. Amen. No matter what our ability, what your position, what your background in life, we can all bear the fruit of the Spirit. And that love, that joy, that peace can be for all of us. So it's not some lofty dream that's only for the rich and famous, but we can all have love and joy and peace and goodness and kindness, faithfulness. Amen? That's good news. I think it's good news. I think it's great news. Amen? Hallelujah. So we want to encourage you that God is good. Actually, there's one fruit of the Spirit missing there. If you can guess it, I'll give you a lolly. sorry? Oh, that's quick. I'll give you a lolly later. Okay, so I want to encourage us today specifically that God is good, and that as we're building a family, we need goodness to build the family. And sometimes life can appear hard, and life gets tough, and life doesn't go how we expect it to. And sometimes it's difficult to believe that God is good. But we need to have a foundation in our life that I know God is good. The circumstances may not look like God is good. The circumstances may not look like what I like, but God is still good. Amen. It's like a child who's put their hand in the wrong place and the mum smacked the child and the child's crying. The child doesn't feel that the mum is good. Amen. All the child feels is the pain and the crying and the sorrow and the disappointment that they couldn't get what they wanted. You know, so the child's crying. But the mum's still good. Amen. Because the mum has a bigger long-term picture in mind. And sometimes we're a bit like that with God. Things happen and we don't understand, and we blame God. Maybe we doubt God's goodness. But I encourage you today that I've been walking with the Lord for 32 years, more than 32, and I know God is good. He's led me into some difficult times, no doubt about that. But it's all good for us. Amen? Whatever God allows in our life is always for our good. And the Word of God says that all things work for the good for those who love God and are called to his purposes. Amen? Romans 8:28. So we should remember that. All things work together for good because God is good. Amen? And when we can accept that, when we embrace that, then we can receive goodness from God and we can really begin to be a good person in our family and in our lives. Amen? Okay, so that's sort of a preamble because I wanted to share about a girl, a guy I knew when in my first church in Maranatha in Melbourne. He was the youth pastor and he got married to this lovely blonde lady. And the whole church was really wrapped, you know. He was the prize boy of the church, so to speak. And he went on his honeymoon, and he was driving along the road, 100 kilometers an hour. And I think a guy came over the hill on the wrong side of the road, and bang! And this is on their honeymoon, and they were instantly killed. One of them was instantly killed. The other one died in hospital soon later. And you could easily say, well, what happened here? This guy's a youth pastor. He just got married and they just got their whole life in front of them and bang, both of them are dead. And I could tell that some people really question God's goodness through that. They're like, wow, how could God let this happen? But even for me at that time, I never questioned God's goodness. And I particularly remember his sister stood up at church after this tragedy, and she shared this scripture, which I've got up here, Psalm 27, verse 13. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And sometimes God's goodness is hard to grasp when tragedies and accidents, such as that one I just mentioned, happen. We're like, wow, God, what's going on? I mean, we don't know the details, but accidents happen. Amen. You know, if you drive on the wrong side of the road, accidents are going to happen. Amen? And it's like God doesn't control every little thing in our lives. If you take your eyes off the road, you'll have a crash. You know, God doesn't necessarily take over the steering wheel and make up for all our mistakes. Are you listening? So in other words, we have a responsibility to keep our eyes on the road, keep your hand on the steering wheel and drive carefully, because if you don't, God may not intervene and stop you from having an accident. I mean, it's very practical. Sometimes we blame God when, in fact, it's just an accident. People make mistakes. People drive on the wrong side of the road and garbage happens in this world. Amen? But that doesn't change the fact that God is good and God's intention is good. Amen? So we need to have this as a foundation in our life that no matter what happens, God is good. So what does good mean? Is the quality. Goodness is the quality of being good, so we want you to be good. Amen. It's virtuous, it's righteous, it's moral, it's ethical, it's upright, upstanding, having integrity, a principle, dignity. Rectitude's a good word. That means like straight, you know, not crooked, not being misleading. Moral excellence, kindness, and generous. So all goodness embraces all these qualities, and of course, the funny quote is this: Vance Harrier quotes this girl who says, "I like Santa Claus more than Jesus because Santa Claus only has to be good for one day, but Jesus has to be good all the time." Anyway, moving right along. Sometimes we can misunderstand what goodness means. In the history of African girls, this lady, Joan Brumberg, she noticed that in the 1890s, if you ask an African girl what does goodness mean, she would refer to moral and emotional character. But if nowadays you asked an African girl what goodness means, she would refer to body and physical image. So it's really changed a lot. What does goodness mean? But goodness is still the same definition, amen? It may be perceived differently in society, but it's still got the basic same definition. In my own life, my brother, his wife finally became pregnant. They'd had one miscarriage in about 1991, and they were really shattered from that miscarriage. They really wanted to have a baby, and they were very upset that the baby died. And they'd been married for a little while at that time. And then in 1993, she became pregnant again with twins. And this time, things were going quite well, right up to about 25 weeks. And this is in 1993. And at the 25-week mark, the doctor said to her, your babies will die. They will be born prematurely. We can't keep them in the womb. They'll come out too early, 25 weeks at that time. a medical technology wouldn't be able to keep them alive. And so the doctors basically gave the twins, the two babies, a death sentence. And so I've got a photo up. Next. Yeah, you can see that great artistry there. My brother's on the left, hugging his wife. And so the twins were they were stated that the twins would die. And so you could say, well, how can God be a good God? You know, we've got these babies, we've already had a miscarriage, another two twins are going to die. How is God a good God? And I remember ringing my brother, and he was really distressed. I was with Helen at the time, actually. And I drove over to the hospital, and I looked at the whole situation. The wife's crying and crying. My brother's stressed out of his mind. The doctors have given the death sentence, and they've sort of washed their hands and walked away. And I'm like, you know, I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to pray for this. So I went outside and started praying, rebuking the devil, believing God for a miracle. Amen. So God is a good God, but evil things happen in this world. And so I prayed and prayed and said, God, you know, I'm going to believe that these twins are going to live. I just rebuke the spirit of death. I believe you're going to live. God, your hand, I pray, be upon these twins. I believe they're going to live. And I prayed for about 5 hours, you know. I prayed for a couple of hours where I really wrestled, and then I just kept praying anyway. So I prayed till about four in the morning, and that was pretty big for me because I don't normally pray till 4 in the morning. so that was unusual for me. I wrote my brother, I had a small card in my pocket, and I wrote him a card, and I said, I forget what I wrote. I said, praying for your babies. I believe they'll come through. I believe God will help you. And so I gave him that card the next morning, and he showed me that card recently. He's had it in his wallet for the last 22 years. Because the babies they were not born prematurely. They stayed in the womb another week. That was long enough for them to get strong enough so that when they were born, they were able to survive the ICU. So my brother really sees that as an answer to prayer, that his two babies survived. And they were very small when they came out of the womb, but they lived, amen. And so the twins, you can see there, the other two that are circled on the right, they're alive today, obviously. And they're about 23 years of age. So two human beings are alive today because we refuse to accept the natural circumstances, but we believe in God's goodness, that God, we believe. And so sometimes we need to be assertive about God's goodness, that God, we're not going to let this happen. God, you're a good God. We believe in miracles. We believe you're going to help us. Amen? Not to acquiesce, but to be assertive. So that's one example of where we need to believe in God's goodness. Amen? Hallelujah. So Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Amen. So that's a really powerful passage. Why? Because the contrast is amazing. If you think, well, the Lord stresses me out. The Lord leads me beside the rocks and the desert, you know, and I can't find any rest. Can you imagine the contrast? I mean, sometimes our life feels like we're living in a desert and life's just stressful and worried, but it's not meant to be like that. The Bible says God is our shepherd. He'll give us rest. He'll give us peace. Amen? I think that's awesome. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, and surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. So God's goodness and mercy can follow you all the days of your life, if we align our life with Jesus Christ. Amen? That's good news. Who wants God's goodness and mercy to follow you all the days of your life? Amen? You know, mercy is so important. We make a mistake. We say, oh, God, forgive me. And we be merciful. God is merciful to us because we show mercy to others. So that goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our life. So point number one today, the goodness of God touches everyone's lives. Jesus said that God brings his son on everybody on the planet, whether they're good or bad. God's goodness is revealed just through the sunrise every day. You know, we had such a beautiful sunrise this morning with the green grass and the birds tweeting and the fresh air. Just amazing goodness of God revealed through his creation. And God is revealing his goodness to all men, you know, despite whether we're evil or good or whatever. Amen. So God's goodness touches all of our lives. God's goodness draws us to himself. God's goodness is stretching out to all mankind, saying, I want you to come to me. God's not elitist. He's not just reaching out to a few people, but he's reaching out to everyone. And every sunrise is like God saying, hey, I care for you. Think about me. Come closer to me. Amen. It's like God is reaching out to mankind all the time, trying to prompt their heart to say, hey, I'm alive, I'm real, I'm good, I care for you. Amen? Isn't that great? So Psalm 31 says, oh, how great is your goodness which you've laid up for those who fear you. Sometimes we think, well, how do I know God is good? Well, God is our creator. You know, scientifically, there's no doubt in my mind that God is our creator, that the systems in our body are absolutely unbelievably complex and have got to be created. So without going into too much detail, we just assume God's our creator, amen? But how good is God? You know, we don't just eat one type of food. We've got this incredible array of food, and it's created the sense of taste on our tongue. I mean, who enjoys the Indian food, the Asian food, the Chinese food, the African food, all the different varieties of food, the different flavors, the curries? I see the hand. Who enjoys all these foods? I mean, it's absolutely spectacular. And yet the vitamins and minerals that we absorb into our body are probably the same. So why would God make this elaborate system so that you could taste all the different flavors? Why go to all the extra trouble? You know, it's like putting petrol in the car. The car does not taste the petrol. Amen? You just think about it. The car doesn't taste the petrol. The petrol gets you moving. So likewise, food has an essential function for us to get moving. Amen? But God is so good to us, he gives this whole spectrum of tastes and pleasures that, you know, they make TV shows out of nowadays. You know, how to be a better cook and how to present it in a just a nice way. It's just another way we know God is good. Amen? Because he's our creator. He cares for every detail. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows the number of cells in your body. He's amazing. He knows everything about us. And he longs for us to come to him. Psalm 107 says, I give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Oh, that men, verse 8, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. So it repeats that four times in that psalm. And it does talk about men going through ups and downs and problems and difficulties. But through it all, God is revealing his goodness. So through our ups and downs and tragedies and difficulties in life, God reveals his goodness to us. Amen. So we just need to listen, we need to watch, we need to be alert, and we can see, wow, God really is good. Amen. And he's very patient. He's very patient toward us. It's just amazing. So I want to encourage you that God is good. It's fundamental. I remember asking my pastor many years ago, something had happened and I didn't quite understand what was going on. So I said to Pastor John, I said, Pastor, you know, what's going on with this situation? I forget what the situation was. And he turned to me and said, Brendan, one thing I know is God is good. I was like, that sounds pretty good to me. So I may not have all the answers, amen? No human being's got all the answers. If anyone says they got all the answers, then they probably don't. And but one thing we do know is God is good. And we can base our life on that, that God is faithful, he's reliable, he's consistent, his promises are certain. He is faithful to bring about what God has promised. Amen? So that's just really wonderful. That's just great. So everything God does is good. In the long run, everything God does is good. And everything God creates is good. Do you believe that? Everything God creates is good? Do we all believe that? So when you look in the mirror, do you complain about how you look? Oh, I wish I looked like, you know, a model. I wish I was 2 inches taller. I wish I was 2 inches shorter. I wish I was a bit fatter. I wish I was a bit skinnier. Come on. We get all caught up about this. But you need to look in the mirror and say, I know God is good because he's created me good. Amen? So we need to have that confidence in our heart. God, you haven't made a mistake. I am well made. I am very good. The Bible says when he made you, you are very good. Amen. So let's not give yourself a hard time saying I don't match up to society's image of perfection. That's not God's image of perfection. You are made exactly the way God wants you to be made. Amen. So who are we to judge one another in that regard? God is good and you have been well made. So you say that to the person next to you. You're well made. Amen. You are good. Hallelujah. So we need to go to God. God is the source of goodness in this world. God is our source. Matthew chapter 7 verse 11. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So what does that mean? It means if you ask God, he will give you good gifts. Amen. God will give you good gifts. We just need to ask. Hallelujah. Amen. So I want to encourage you, spend some time in prayer. Ask God for some good things. Don't just grumble about what you don't have, but stop and say, hey, I'm going to ask God for something today. Let's see what happens. God, I want you to bless Kati today. God bless my brother. And let's see what happens. Amen. So ask God to do some good things, and I believe he'll answer you. Don't ask him all for yourself. God, I want more money. I want this. I want that. Not all for yourself, okay? Pray. Pray that God will bless other people. And you'll see God do good things. Some of you may know Hudson Taylor. We've got a picture of Hudson Taylor up there somewhere. He's a really great man, a great missionary who went to China in the 19th century. So while he was preparing for overseas work, he was studying as a medical student in London. He came across a poor family. The family were living under a set of stairs outside an apartment block. So they didn't have a house. They were just living under stairs. The wife was sick. She couldn't even sit up. The oldest child was holding a newborn baby that was very weak from lack of nutrition. There were five other children that all were skinny and full of bones. And Hudson prayed for them, and he felt the need to help them physically. All he had was his own money for rent, and his rent was due the next day. That was it. He had nothing else to give. So he didn't have money even for his own food. So Hudson gave it all to the father. So he got his father and a mother and six kids, all skin and bone, living outside, being sick, under the stairs. Hudson gives him all his money. So he's got no money for his own food and no money for his own rent. And he walks away thinking, that's pretty stupid because I'm going to be homeless tomorrow because if I don't pay the landlord my rent, he's going to kick me out. So he's like, God, what do I do now? God, you got to help me, you know. So he goes home, he prays, he says, God, please help me and help me, give me favor with the landlord. So he's planning to speak to the landlord and say, please give me an extension so that I can pay you at a later date. And the landlord comes up and bangs on the door. And before Hudson could ask him for an extension, the landlord just passes him a letter that had just come in the mail and says, you owe me the rent, and then shuts the door and walks away. And Hudson's like, oh no, what do I do now? I've got to pay him the rent. And then he opens the letter and what's it say? Let me have a look. He opens the letter. The next day, late in the morning, heard the landlord coming up the stairs. Hudson prepared himself, heard the knock on the door. The rent is due today. So he had no opportunity to appeal for an extension. He opened the letter, still with a hungry stomach, and inside the letter it was written, we hope this will be of use to you. Inside, there was enough money for rent and for food. Amen. So that's just one example that God is good to us. Amen. God sees our difficulties, and God can do miracles in our life, and God is good. So when we pray to him, he will help us. Amen. So Acts 10 verse 38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing, what did Jesus do? He did good things. Amen. He didn't go around beating up people and telling everyone how great he was. He went around serving and doing good things. So if you want to build a good family, what's one key ingredient is doing good to one another. Amen. So we receive the goodness of God into our heart and into our life, and out of that goodness that we receive, we pass it on to those around us. So we pass it on to our family members first of all. Those we live with are the ones we impact the most. So we need to radiate and emanate that goodness that we receive personally from God to mum and dad, my brothers and sisters, the people I live with. Amen? We can do it. We can change. We can be better people. We can be good people. And people will remember us. Amen? Okay, so the goodness of God touches all of our lives. We just need to be open to that. God, your goodness is all around me. Your goodness, your patience in this world is incredible. Amen. If you look at the world and you see how wicked it is, you also see how patient God is with wicked men. And he gives them many years, many chances to turn back to receive his forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Amen. Romans chapter 2 tells us in verse 4, do you despise the riches of God's goodness, his forbearance, his long-suffering? Because, you know, sometimes many human beings, we irritate God. We do the wrong thing. We commit evil. We irritate God. And God's like, ugh. And he's very patient while we're doing the wrong thing. And we misunderstand God's patience. But actually, the patience of God is God's goodness that's waiting for us, drawing us back to himself. Amen. So the scripture there says, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Amen. Sometimes we misunderstand God's goodness and think, oh, it's okay to commit evil because I didn't get a lightning bolt when I stole that car. I didn't get a lightning bolt from heaven, so maybe there is no God after all. I mean, that's nonsense to think like that. It just means that God doesn't want to kill you for stealing their car, and he wants you, and he's patient with you to repent, you know? You understand what I mean? It's silly what people do. I remember being on a tennis court, and some guy was yelling at God, saying, God, strike me down. It's like, it's just nonsense. God is good. He's not going to strike you down. He cares for you. He loves you. He's patient toward us, even when we do the wrong thing, and he wants us to change and receive God's goodness and forgiveness. Amen. Okay, so number one, God is good and God's goodness touches all our lives. Amen. So we need to remember God is good, and we can pray and say, God, I know you're a good God. I know you're a merciful God. You will be good to me. Amen. So it gives us a good foundation in my own life. I receive God's goodness. And I can be good because I receive God's goodness. Amen? Not that I'm good myself. Amen? I'm not good myself. You leave Brendan to Brendan, and Brendan's a pretty selfish person. Brendan gets angry, gets selfish, gets bitter, gets upset. And Brendan wants his own way. I'm the only one like that. But when I go to God, God shows me how good God is. I'm like, oh, God, help me, Jesus. You know, I need to change. God, help me. Help me to be patient. Help me to be kind. Help me to reach out to people. Help me to love people. Amen? So I rely on God's goodness, and God helps me to be good. So secondly today is God, goodness is a basic ingredient for a good family. So God wants us to practice goodness so that we can be a good family. This lady called Jessica Wolstenholm, she wanted to get pregnant, and her husband said, before we get pregnant, we need to be confident of God's timing. And she was getting frustrated with him, saying, why do we need to go through all this prayer and God's timing? Let's just do it. And he's like, no, I need to know that it's God's timing and God's will, because when things get tough, I need to know that God has called us to this. And it's very interesting he said that, because they had a lot of problems. And Joshua chapter 4 tells us it's good to have a stone of remembrance. Sorry, 1 Corinthians 12. We'll get back to that in a minute. But Joshua 4 chapter 4 tells us about having a stone of remembrance about the good things that God has done in our lives. And so what happened with this couple, with Joan Jessica Wolstenholm, is that they had a lot of problems. It says here in her story, throughout our journey to get here, infertility, three miscarriages, an ectopic pregnancy, countless doctor's appointments, dozens of ultrasounds, fertility drugs, thousands of dollars, millions of tears, and two miracle lives. I've been able to look back to that moment that God said yes, and on his goodness we have traveled. So they've had a lot of problems, a lot of sorrow, a lot of tears, 3 miscarriages. That's very heartbreaking. That's very stressful. But they had that knowledge God has called us to it, and that God is good, and that God will help us. So when we're going through life, it's good to know that God is good. He's called me to it, and we have a remembrance of this event. Yes, this is what God has called me to. So when we do go through hard times, we know, we go back to that remembrance of when God called us to it, and say, God has called me to this. Even though it's difficult, I know God will work it through. So God's goodness will prevail. Amen. So I want to encourage you to, before we embark on different ventures and big decisions, to really know that God has called us to it. Because when times get tough, we can go back and say, I know God has called me to this, and I know God's goodness will help me through. Otherwise, it's easy for us to give up. As human beings, we give up all a bit too easily because we're a bit weak. You know, all of us are a bit weak. We think we can do it, but we can't. But when we got that memory of God, you've called me to it, you're going to bring me through, God, your goodness is there. Amen. So it's really great. So this lady, even though she went through so much pain and turmoil, she persevered, and God's goodness was revealed through a family of 2 children, which is just really wonderful. So 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, for the body has many members, all the members of one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So when we're a family, we're one body, so we have our immediate physical, natural family, but we also have a spiritual family in the church where we all fit together, we all encourage one another and bless one another. So as a church today, we're celebrating Family Sunday, where we can be friends and encourage and support one another on a broader scale. Amen. Not just to look after our own family itself, but to broaden our heart, to embrace one another from different cultures. Amen. So if you want to stretch yourself today, try to speak to people from a different culture during lunchtime. Amen. Get to know people you don't know, and God will help us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So everyone in church is important. Amen. Everyone in your family, your natural family, is important. Likewise, everyone at church is precious and very important person. Amen. Isn't that good news? Okay, so goodness is always an asset. A man who is straight, friendly, and useful may never be famous, but he is respected and liked by all who know him. He has laid a solid foundation for success, and he will have a useful life. So goodness sets yourself up for a good life. If you develop goodness in your life, you will have a good life. Amen. If you determine in your heart to be a good person, even though others treat you badly, if you continue to be a good person, God will honor you and you will have a good life. Amen. Desmond Tutu said, God's dream is that you and I and all of us will come to realize that we are family, that we're made for togetherness, for goodness and compassion. Amen. So God wants us all to be one big, happy family held together with that goodness. Amen. I just want to quote the Pope Francis. He said recently, a couple of years ago, at a world meeting of families, he said, the most beautiful thing that God has made was the family. I thought that's really a really wonderful quote. And all that God has in himself, all the beauty, all the truth, all the love, he gives through to the family. And what really spoke to me was he said this. He said, when God has a special place for the family. Why? Because he sent his only son into a family. Isn't that interesting? So God really treasures family. So we need to treasure the family that God gives to us, and we also need to treasure our family as a church. We really need to help one another, love one another, be kind to one another, patient with one another. Amen? Because none of us are perfect. So people are going to irritate us. Because none of us are perfect. None of us. So we got to say, okay, I'm ready to be upset because someone's going to upset me because someone's imperfect around here. but I'm going to be good. I'm going to practice the bond of unity. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be loving. I'm going to be patient. Amen. Because I know I'm not perfect myself. And the Pope went on, he said, a people that doesn't know how to care for the children and a people that doesn't know how to care for the grandparents is a people without a future. I think that's a really powerful statement. And our society at the moment, we're abusing both ends of the spectrum. We kill children before they're born, and when they get old, we want to kill them off with euthanasia. It's a very selfish culture we're living in today. It's a major attack against the family. Abortion is an evil thing, and killing old people and saying they're no longer good to live, you know, it's an evil thing to do, you know. You can dress it up whichever way you like, but we're abusing the unborn, we're abusing children, and we're abusing the older people. That's not a family attitude. It's not a good attitude. We need to honour the unborn, and we need to honour the old. Amen? It's very important to God. And that will be the peril of our own future. So we need to really be good, build a strong family with goodness. Amen? It begins with us. It begins with us to get together, support good, strong family values, support marriage as God has created us. Amen? So if you're married, please be patient with your spouse. Amen? If you want to be married, learn to be patient. Because when you're married, it's not easy. The other person's not perfect. Amen? The other person doesn't even understand you perfectly. And you need to be patient. You need to accept the fact the person I'm living with is not perfect. So I need to be patient. I need to be kind. I need to be forgiving. So we forgive one another. We love one another. And that's what helps the family stick together. Amen? We can complain in our mind about our spouse. Oh, blah, 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 blah. But that's just my own selfishness. All my complaints are my own selfishness. It's manifesting my selfishness, not so much the faults of the other person. Amen? So if we are married, let's practice goodness and patience and kindness and build a strong family based on love. Amen? And if you want to be married, you want to have a good family, you got to practice goodness, kindness, patience now before you get married. So that when you do get married, you can practice love and kindness and patience and build a great family. Amen? And God will help us. But we need to practice these things. Practice being careful what we speak. Don't just speak what you feel. Amen? We need to be careful. Slow the words down. Zip the lip. Say, God, help me. Help me to say what you want me to say. Amen? Can we do that? Can we practice goodness in our families? Practice not hurting one another, not arguing, not shouting, screaming, yelling. Amen? Let's be learn to zip and say, Lord, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to speak words of edification, building up love, patience, kindness. Amen. Hallelujah. God can do it. Amen? So we receive God's goodness. And then we give God's goodness to one another. Amen. Okay, so just to conclude, got a goodness scale. Oh, yeah, that's a good quote. Goodness scale by Peter Laughlin. He says we all look good when we compare ourselves to each other, but when we compare ourselves to God, you know, he's up in the atmosphere. So we're on a ladder, you know. You know, I'm a bit better than my wife. My wife's a bit better than me, you know, on this ladder. But when we compare to God, God's on another planet. So he's much better than us. He's the source of goodness. Amen? Okay, so we need to remember that. Craig Larson tells a story of a young lady who's a really bright student, and they were teaching philosophy, and they were teaching on how to be good. It's really interesting. They're teaching the philosophy on how to be good. And she was working as a cleaner, and cleaning all the students' rooms. So she herself was a student, and she was cleaning her fellow students' rooms. But her fellow students were rude and insensitive, and they never said please, and they never said thank you, and yet she's cleaning their rooms. And so she was getting more and more angry about the philosophy of being good and being kind, and yet no one's practicing it. Everyone's being rude and nasty, and she's getting upset because she feels like this. It's not being practiced. You know, it's like, what's going on here? I'm doing all this cleaning. No one's appreciating it. We're all in this class learning about goodness, but no one's practicing it. I want to quit. So she goes to a professor and says, what is going on here? So the professor says, the answer to that question, according to the Bible, is not education, but conversion. That's a powerful statement, isn't it? So you can educate people about what is good, what is great, what is patient, what is kindness, but we don't need education, we need conversion. We actually need a new heart. We have a selfish heart, and we need to go to God and say, God, I need a new heart. I need a new spirit. I need a heart of flesh, a heart of love, a heart of kindness, a heart of grace, a heart of mercy, because the heart I've got is hard and self-centered, and I need to change. We need a conversion. And many of us have experienced that already, where God gives us a new heart and changed my life. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing today. Because that conversion changed my heart, changed my life. So we need to give our heart to God and say, God, I need a conversion experience. So if that's you today and you feel that you want to be good but sometimes find it unable, you find you're unable to, and you haven't yet given your heart to Jesus Christ, we want to encourage you to do that. We'll have a time of prayer when we close. I'd like you to come forward. We can pray. It's a simple prayer. Say, God, give me a new heart, give me a new spirit. I want that kindness really in my heart, not in my brain, 5 points to being a good person, but I want to have a good heart. Amen. And that's a conversion experience. So we need a new heart from Jesus. Amen. Okay, so why don't we have the team up? We'll play a song as we close. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're so good to us. God, we pray. Lord, you continue to reveal your goodness to us. Lord, every sunrise, every sunset, the colors you reveal to us are just a smorgasbord of beauty, the radiance, the glory of all the different colors, and your creation is so beautiful, God. Father, we pray that you'd reveal your goodness to us in a clearer and more poignant manner, God. Lord, that we would humble ourselves before you. Lord, that we would come to you and say, God, you're so great. You're so awesome. Lord, help us not to blame you when things don't go our way. Lord, help us, God. Help us, Lord, to see the big picture. Sometimes we don't see the big picture, but you do. And help us to trust you that even though we don't know what's going on, you do, and you are good. You are good. You're so awesome. Your love is so great. Your love is so great you died for us. You are so good, Lord. Father, we pray today that everyone in this room would have a revelation, a knowledge of your goodness in a greater way, Lord God. Lord, may your goodness touch our hearts. Help us to trust in you in a deeper way today, Lord. Trusting in your goodness. How great is your goodness, Lord? How great is your goodness, God? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.